There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Hello and welcome to Dubai Today. I'm Sally Musa, and on today's Thursday brunch, we're asking you, what are the dishes that you should know how to cook before you turn 30? Do you have a special recipe that you always have up your sleeve for an impromptu get-together? It might be a juicy roast chicken with all the trimmings, a special curry, or a show-stopping pavlova. Tell us your must-know recipes. Joining us at table, sharing their favourites are Chef Russell Impiazzi, Culinary Director at Galeries Lafayette Le Gourmet, Tahir Shah, founder of Moshi Roti, and Debbie Rogers, editor of Foodie Mag. Follow us on the Dubai Eye Facebook page to see all the food action in studio on Facebook Live throughout the show.
Your midday music moment.
Sometimes the time is worth wasting. Some heartbreaks are worth braving. I know, you know, you know. I just wanna get closer.
Has been your midday music moment.
Yes, hello and welcome to Dubai Today. It is the Thursday brunch. It's all about your special go-to recipes. Those dishes that are the big crowd pleasers at your house. The weather is lovely. It is time to get family and friends around. What's going to be on your table? Now, I want to welcome to the studio our panelists today on the Thursday brunch. We've got Tahir Shah, founder of Moshi Roti. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Savi? How are you doing?
I'm great. Great to have you in. Debbie Rogers, editor of Foodie Mag. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Great to have you in. And of course, Chef Russell, Chef Russell Impiazzi, Culinary Director at Galeries Lafayette Le Gourmet. Hello and welcome.
Yeah, well done. You got there in the end. A very happy Diwali to everyone as well.
Yes, happy Diwali. We are going to be talking Diwali food, actually. If you have been celebrating Diwali, what's on your table? Let us know. 4001 or on the Dubai Eye app. Now, I want to start with you, Chef Russell. Actually, you've had a lot going on. First of all, let's start with the Pink Brigade.
Oh, yeah, the Pink Brigade's been fantastic this year. We're in our fourth year.
For those who don't know what it is, tell us.
The Pink Brigade, it's a chef-driven initiative that was put together by a good friend of mine, Chef Robbie Stokes, who unfortunately lost his beautiful wife, Claire, to breast cancer. And we started it a couple of years ago, and it's just kind of grown every year. And this year's been fantastic. We've had such an incredible response from all the chefs over town. And we've managed to raise, at last count this morning, about 108,000 dirhams, which is absolutely awesome.
That's so amazing.
I'm hoping when you go to dinner in your favourite restaurant, you're going to see the chefs wearing their beautiful pink aprons, their pink branded chef's jackets, and give them a high five. They've done fantastic this year.
It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, of course. Yeah. And so who are the chefs who are taking part this year?
Pretty much everyone that I know has got on board. EKFC guys have been fantastic. The Grosvenor House boys have been brilliant. Atlantis, Chef Chris down at Atmosphere. God, there's loads, and just a huge thanks to everyone who's given us support this year.
And it grows every year, doesn't it? As you get the awareness going, as you get everybody on board, it's just a brilliant, it's such a community feel, you know, to get everybody on board for this campaign.
Yeah, chefs are great. I mean, you ask and they give their time, and we're all pretty busy guys and girls, and no one said no, and it was like, what can we do? How can we help? How can we get involved? And it's that kind of chef spirit I absolutely love, and the guys have been, as I say, been fantastic.
Well done. But, of course, you've got a lot coming up with Galeries Lafayette Le Gourmet in the month of November, which is just around the corner. The winter in Dubai is just around the corner as well. What have you got planned?
Yeah, a few more grey hairs have appeared over the last couple of weeks. We've just opened, obviously, the venue City Walk, which is looking great. And as part of that launching program, we're putting together our food fest. Now, we do our food fest every year, and every year it kind of gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And this time, we're taking it outside. So we're taking over a little bit of City Walk. We've got 17 food stations going on. We've got fantastic atmosphere. Great live entertainment coming. Kids activities coming up as well. Food demonstrations, real good lifestyle show.
We love that. And tell us about the different food stations, the kitchens that you've got involved.
Well, it's all relevant to what we do in the gourmet. So obviously the multi-kitchens are always there. The Indian guys are doing their thing. The Asian boys, beautiful grill stuff. We've got the pizzeria going out. And we're partnered up with a few key brands. Our friends at Promar who do some beautiful raclette for us this year. Bring your appetite.
Yes. Mm. 6 kitchens, no less, going to be down there. And that is between the
2nd and 4th.
2nd and 4th of November.
Yep. It's the weekend. So, you know, if you've got nothing planned for that week, come down. It's going to be a fantastic food fest.
Oh, fabulous. Debbie, hello.
Hi.
It's your first time in studio with us. It's not your first time on the Thursday brunch. You've been part of the show before, but first time in studio.
Yep.
So great to have you in.
Thank you.
Lots to talk about with Foodie Mag, but I want to start with you. You've been on quite a fitness kick.
Yes.
I'm not sure how to describe it. How would you describe it?
Sheer madness.
It's all going on with you. What are you doing and why?
Earlier this year in January, normal resolution time, etc., etc., there was something popped up on my Facebook feed about a fitness challenge.
Mm.
And stupidly, in the middle of the night, I kind of signed up for it. And the challenge was with a company called Switch DXB, who wants to sort of revolutionise fitness and other wellness activities in Dubai. And I auditioned for a spot. I had to be on camera, etc., etc., and I won one of the 4 slots. So 4 of us went through a 12-week journey, really. We spent 2 weeks learning about ourselves. We had our DNA profile done. Learned lots about that, wow, about myself. We did some fitness testing. We put one of those silly masks on and had to sort of cycle until I thought I was going to die to test how fit we were. And we had a life coach. We had a hypnotherapy coach. We had all of that in the first 2 weeks, which was very much just finding out about ourselves. Before we then did 5 weeks of one set of quite intense exercises and different physical activities, followed by another 5 weeks that kind of took us on a journey. So to begin with, we might have been cycling in a pod in water, And then the next stage, we were cycling at sort of Cycle Bar and some of the spinning studios. So we were kind of progressing with our fitness and learning about nutrition, et cetera, et cetera.
It's just, it sounds incredible. It sounds intense as well. How are you feeling throughout it all? You look amazing.
Yeah.
You look fantastic.
Fantastic. I lost 15 kgs doing it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I've continued. It's kind of, it ignited something in me that just kind of wanted to continue.
You just thought, you know, I'm just going to make this part of my lifestyle. It's going to
happen.
You know what? I mean, we all want to get fit. Dubai Fitness Challenge, it's all happening. So I've downloaded my app. Yeah, exactly. It starts tomorrow. We'll talk about that in more depth later. But, you know, being a foodie, being fit, does it work? Mm. Can you get the two together? Does it work?
It's a challenge. It is honestly a real challenge. Yeah. I love my food. If I didn't love my food, I probably wouldn't gain weight. That's the
Oh, it's the reality ultimate. Of life, isn't it?
And if you love food, you don't always want to be completely healthy. You don't want to live at extremes. You want to be able to indulge. And I think that's kind of what I've managed to do. I've kind of figured out there's a secret to indulging, being sensible, and working it off as well.
See, yeah. I think what's incredible there is my New Year's resolution lasted 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're in November. So that's fantastic. You know? that's willpower. Well done. Well done.
But you know what? I've not sacrificed anything. I am still having cream cakes. I'm still having indulgences and being naughty.
That's my kind of routine, I tell you.
But I saw, didn't you, wasn't it just before Ramadan started, right? I saw Debbie at that time. She just started and I thought, how, like, when she described it then, I thought, she's a little bit mad. Maybe she's not going to, but here we are, like, that takes sheer, like Russell said, that takes sheer determination to keep going. So
it is brilliant.
Good on you.
And I've loved
really
it. And it made me overcome one of my biggest fears because I hate being on camera and I hate being on video.
Oh, no way.
The whole thing was videoed.
Radio?
And no, radio's fine. You can see me. But the whole thing was done. And I've actually now got my own YouTube channel talking about my fitness challenges. And, you know, I'm not scared to be on camera now. So
that's fantastic.
I've overcome another fear as well.
But we need to talk a bit of Diwali and Diwali food. And this is something that you've got going on in your foodie mag.
Absolutely. We're obviously celebrating every food festival that goes on across the world and across Dubai. So Ishita's the expert in Diwali food. She's actually cooking dinner for me and her family tonight.
Mm.
And we've been sharing recipes that are very indulgent because that's kind of what Diwali is about. And a lot of food, a lot of celebrations, if you like, focus very much on food as being one of the big things.
Yeah, for sure.
Diwali desserts, obviously, full of sugar.
Oh,
tastes,
I love it.
Absolutely gorgeous.
I want to get more from you on the Diwali food in just a minute. Tahir, we're going to come to you as well after the break, talking about your inclusion in some of the best takeaway in town.
Oh, it was nothing.
Oh, it's no, he's so humble about it. We've got at the table with us today Chef Russell Impiazi, Culinary Director at Galleries Lafayette Le Gourmet, Tahir Shah, founder of Moshiroti, Debbie Rogers, editor of Foodie Mag. This is the Thursday Brunch. We're also talking about your go-to dishes when you really want to impress an impromptu dinner party, lunch on the weekend. What's going to be at your table? What are you shopping for right now for the weekend? Text us 4001 or on the Dubai Eye app. This is Dubai Today with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye 103.8.
This is Dubai Today.
Tweet us now at Dubai Eye 103.8.
We're talking your go-to dishes when you want to impress the socks of someone who's coming to your house. What are they? And what are the kind of dishes that you should know how to cook before you turn 30? Get those thinking caps on. Send in your text 4001 or on the Dubai Eye app. But at the table right now, we've got Chef Russell Impiazi, Culinary Director at Galleries Lafayette Le Gourmet, Tahir Shah, founder of Moshiroti, and Debbie Rogers, editor of Foodie Mag. We left off, Debbie, talking about your fitness journey that you are on at the moment. Lena texts in saying, Thursday used to be the day of guilt-free indulgence on Dubai Eye, so congrats on your weight loss, she says. But we're talking Diwali food as well. Diwali food. What has to be on the table at Diwali? It is a celebration. It is about indulgence. It is about family. It is about sweets, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all about the sweets. No matter what you Google and what you research on Diwali, everybody's talking about the sweets. Hardly anyone that I know seem to talk very much about what the main meal's going to be, but they're concentrating on what sweets they're going to go out and buy, mostly buying.
Yeah.
So a few friends I know make their Diwali sweets, but a lot of them go to Bir Dubai, go to the sort of creek area, the older areas of Dubai, some of their favourite Indian sweet shops, and just buy a whole selection of sugar syrup laden desserts. So we're talking things like gulab jamun, which is just in a you know, sweet syrupy. Yeah.
It's amazing how who comes up with these ideas of getting dough, deep frying it and putting it in sugar.
Can we just talk about how fantastic that is and universal that is?
Yeah.
Because we have that as well. The Arabs have got it, course, lugaymat.
Lugaymat,
you know, that is the same thing.
Yeah.
It is fried dough, drizzled or drowned in syrup, depending on your liking. Maybe a few nuts on top.
Yeah.
And it is divine. It is so beautiful.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And for Diwali, you've got the same thing. Gulab jamun. One that comes up for me is, let me know if I'm saying this right, jalebi.
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 Oh, jalebi.
Because the Arabs have the same thing. We'll call it zlabia. It's the same. It's exactly the same thing.
Are you kidding?
I'm not joking. So this, there's so much in common there. But describe to us just what that is.
Like, you can only have it once a year, right? It's, like, it's like a sugar fried bomb.
Yes, you know? It is. And it's just kind of swirls of the sugar, and it's colorful and it's beautiful, and it just, it's all about, you know, that really the celebration dish, isn't it, Tahir?
That is the ultimate celebratory dish, a jalebi. You know, even the way it looks, it looks like a pyrotechnic almost. It's like a fried firework. That's what it is. So, oh my God, I think I'm going to do that at the right market. You know, you gave me an idea. But
yes.
Yeah, it's...
do it.
That is like, it's incredibly syrupy, incredibly like crunchy on the outside and super sweet, gooey on the inside. I'm just thinking of getting childhood memories now, but... anything with a happy occasion. You never think of a sad moment when you think of jalebi, definitely, because it's always something you're celebrating, something or an occasion or a gathering.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm seeing other things. Walnut burfis?
Yeah.
That's just, that looks delicious. Kajal Katli, I don't know. Text in yours. What are you going to have at Diwali? What's going to be on your table for the sweets, for the celebrations? We would love to hear from you because it's beautiful. Just thinking about it is making my mouth water, and I'm loving that. But some great news for you, Tahir. Moti Roti being counted as one of Dubai's best world takeaways.
Can you believe that? Let's break out the jalebi. I'm very happy. I'm so happy to be featured. I'm very humbled, especially there's some really cool restaurants in there as well.
This is in Time Out Dubai.
Time Out. And I think Watson also have it.
And Watson have it as well. But it's just, you know, for those who are not familiar with Moti Roti, your fantastic flavors that you bring together in a brilliant, brilliant way. Simple, but fantastic.
Yeah, I always say, if people know what chipotle is, I always say it's like a Pakistani chipotle. If you don't know what it is, it's like roti is our version of a tortilla, as it were. And you build your own. You choose the filling, the chutney, the dressing, and it's very. It's not oily. It's not greasy. It's light, easy. It's perfect for lunch. So if anyone wanted Pakistani or Indian food accessible, and it's not associated with heavy butter chicken after a beer kind of thing, this, you know, that's us. We're like an alternative. I'm incredibly happy with that. We're only open a few months in JLT, and it's just such hard work to get, you know, the food has to be good and the service. The delivery drivers have to be, you know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes like that.
They have to be on it.
It is so hard to do, but it's great to see, you know, to achieve recognition.
Well done.
Yeah.
Today's theme, I want to start off today's theme in talking about those go-to dishes that you just pull out, just have up your sleeve. It's always there at the back of your mind. Somebody comes over and you're like, oh, that's what I'm going to cook to really impress them. Chef Russell?
Oh, keep it simple. But my advice, I mean, we do fondue quite a lot in my house. It's one of those things that's quite sociable, in the middle of the table, some lovely cold cuts with it as well, some nice crispy bread, you know, and that's kind of my one.
A
good,
lovely.
A good retro cheesy fondue.
Mm. Oh, we nice. Love it.
Yep.
I'm just, because the weather is going to be perfect for that very soon, and I'm just imagining that gorgeous warm cheese just... Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, and with good friends as well, and who gets the last piece of bread to dip it in, you know.
What is the cheese that you've got to have for a perfect fondue?
I use a mixture of three. We use a beautiful Comté, which has got a nice nutty taste to it, a Cantal, which is nice and creamy, and a Ermental, which gives you the stickiness. So those are three cheeses I use.
Those are the three cheeses that you put in there, and in terms of what you use to dip in there?
Baguette, good old fashioned baguette, crispy baguette, dipped in, and there you go. But a little bit of salt on the baguette.
It is just the perfect combination, isn't it?
Yep, yep.
We are talking some of your favourite dishes that you just pull out of a hat, really, for a brunch, for a dinner party, when you know that somebody's coming over. It is the dish that you go to. Lots of your Diwali texts coming in as well. We will get to those in just a moment. We are talking to Chef Russell Impiazzi, Culinary Director at Galeries Lafayette Le Gourmet, Tahir Shah, founder of Moti Roti, and Debbie Rogers, editor of Foodie Mag. And lots more coming up on the Thursday Brunch with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye 103.8.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Now we're talking about your dishes that you whip out when you've got people coming over at the drop of a hat. So Liz has texted in saying slow cooked lamb in thyme and carrots and celery in a beautiful marinade and juice, she says. Love the show. Thank you so much, Liz, for that text. We have got another one. Lots of Diwali. Mm. I keep getting it wrong. It's not Diwali. It's Diwali, isn't it? That's the proper way to say it.
It's a weird translation. Iteration of you should hear when my mum says Volkswagen. Yeah, just, even I said it wrong.
So how do I say Diwali properly?
Diwali, but Diwali. Yeah, it's spelled with a W, so it's really confusing.
Your Diwali desserts are coming in as well. We've got Sohel saying, happy Diwali. You should try Cham Cham. Is that right? Cham Cham? Yeah. It's a Bengali sweet. Excellent. And it is my favorite. A rumor says, happy Diwali. We've been celebrating 2 days here at work. South Indians celebrated yesterday and North Indians celebrate today. I did not know that. Thank you, a rumor. Which has meant I've been hogging laddus, jalabis, pedas, and the list is endless. And a rumor ends off by saying, the Dubai Fitness Challenge could not have come at a better time. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So fantastic. Please do keep sending those in. We want to know how you are celebrating Diwali, what is on your table, and also what are your special dishes that you bring out for the family, you bring out for friends. But before we get more into that, let's talk a bit of food news.
The latest food news.
All right. This is one that's kind of got me. Okay, so, you know, food trends, food fetishization, if I can get that word out. If you're looking for an example of that, a food fetish that's gone too far, what do you think about this? Bottled water that tastes like it's burnt wood. So smoked water. Smoked water. We are talking about smoked water. This is not just any smoked water. Chef Impiazzi is looking at me going, why?
Why would you smoke water? Yeah. I'm listening.
I'm about to tell you. This has been curated especially for British chef Heston Blumenthal.
That would explain it, right?
Yes. So David Lee Wilson and his wife Alison, who own Hallanmon, a company that produces sea salt in Wales.
It's the best salt as well. It's really good.
There you go. They were challenged to come up with an easier way to imbue risotto with a smoky flavour at the Fat Duck, Blumenthal's Michelin-starred restaurant in Bray in England. So that's what they asked for.
But they do a beautiful smoked sea salt as well, the Hallamon guys. The range of salt is really cool. And the smoked one is really nice.
See, that kind of makes sense to me, to smoke sea salt.
Yeah.
But here you've got an example of smoked water. And they said if it was anyone else other than Blumenthal, they would have said, are you out of your mind? But if Heston asks, you rise to the challenge, don't you? And that they did. So it's believed to be the only natural product of its type out there. This is how it's made. For 10 days, filtered tap water is circulated through loops that contain oak chips and oak dust. And what comes out is an amber liquid with the cleanest of aromas of burning wood.
Does that sound appetizing to you?
So would he use it as a stock? Is that where he's going with it?
Yeah. Yes. Yep. So to smoke, to give a smoked flavour to risotto or something like that. Would you use that in your restaurant, Chef Russell?
Look, if it's good enough for Heston, it's good enough for me. That's where I'm going with that
you
one.
You scoffed at it before.
I thought it was for drinking, but now you use it stock in the cooking. Yeah, yeah. Okay, makes sense.
Doesn't come cheap, though. £4.10 for a 100ml bottle.
Oh, that's not cheap.
What's that, 20 dirhams, is it? 20 dirhams, 100 mil.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, it is not cheap when you compare it to some other beverages, choice beverages, if we like to call them that. It's quite expensive. It's right up there. So,
well, it takes time, you know, time is money, so why not?
Well, true. It is a specialty kind of ingredient. Would you use that kind of thing, Debbie?
I'm kind of puzzling to think whether it really makes a difference.
Would it make that much difference?
You know,
yeah.
Whether I'd, and as a consumer, would I pay that, or would I just think it's a fad?
Yeah, true. Speaking of, yes.
No, actually, it reminded me of a shisha. Actually, isn't that smoke water? No,
well,
maybe not.
Yeah, kind but you smell of, that, yeah. don't you? You don't then use it to cook with.
Yeah, you don't.
With it,
and it's kind of a bit of a nicotine.
So there's a nice trick for your chef if you want to smell that smoked water.
I don't know. It's got me kind of a little bit puzzled as well. Mm. But you know, there are so many kind of food fads out there.
Yeah.
Have you heard of pandan?
Yes,
pandan. Mm. I mean, what is it? What is pandan? It looks like a leaf to me.
Pandan is amazing. Yeah. It's got the most amazing aroma. When I was in Bangkok a few years ago, the cab driver was hanging in the on the mirror thing, and you get into the taxi, it just smells amazing. Great for desserts as well, like a pandan panna cotta or a pandan custard.
So you do use it?
Yeah, pandan's awesome.
This is a sweet, pungent East Asian leaf, which is likened to vanilla, which is why it's good for desserts. Nigella Lawson reckons that it looks set to swarm kitchens all over Britain. It's already gaining traction in the States. This is from the Times.
We've been using pandan for years here.
Yeah. So you think it's definitely going to be up there with the kales of the world?
It's kind of been around for a long, long time in this part of the world, obviously working within Thai restaurant environments.
Yeah.
We do a beautiful pandan chicken where you marinate the chicken, you wrap it in the pandan leaf and you deep fry it.
And what does that do to it?
That flavour of the pandan just kind of permeates into the chicken.
And how does it taste?
You unwrap it. It's just like, it's sweet, but it's savoury, and it's just a great ingredient.
Mm.
So it's not get some pandan. Is it?
No,
it doesn't overwhelm a dish. It just adds to it.
Pandan ice cream is fantastic as well.
Have you ever used it, Tahir?
First time I heard of it, actually.
That could be something that you're going to be adding to your menu at Motu Roti. You can get cakes made with it. Yeah. Pandan, already, like you said, Chef, being used to flavour desserts and cakes, but I don't know. Is it the next big thing when we're talking about food trends? I don't know. There's another one that we need to talk about coming back after the break. Nutella and pasta. Is that a combination that needs to be?
It's just so wrong.
We shall discuss that next.
To be discussed.
We've got Chef Russell Impiazzi, Culinary Director at Galleries Lafayette Le Gourmet, Tahir Shah, founder of Motu Roti, and Debbie Rogers, editor of Foodie Mag. That's all coming up here on the Thursday brunch on Dubai Today on Dubai Eye 103.8. Ramina has texted in saying, remembering my childhood memories, as Chef Tahir mentioned, the crispy fireworks. Work in syrup. It's just such a great image. You're so good with that, Zahir. She says, Iranians have the same sweet. We call it Zulbia, but not as back of the throat sugar sting as the Indian version. So it's a little bit less sweet, but there you go.
Yeah.
Seems to be a universal one as well that we found there. But text in your sweets that you are putting on your table, your go-to desserts, those things that you really should know how to cook before you turn 30. Something we started talking about before we went to the break was a combination that... Chef is still... he's still reeling from the idea. The idea of putting together Nutella and pasta. Would you do it? Would you put these two together? Two comfort foods, but do they belong together? Now, this has been invented by Carosello, an Italian restaurant in Australia's Moonee Ponds. I know where that is. I'm kind of ashamed to be Australian at the moment reading that. But the dish is being served to celebrate World Pasta Day, which falls on October the 25th. And apparently, it expertly fuses dinner and dessert, both at the same time.
God, how ridiculous. My goodness.
So, wait, hold on. So they haven't just boiled a bag of tagliatelle and smothered it with Nutella. Instead, the dish uses chocolate pasta, which is made as normal but enhanced with cocoa powder for a strong chocolatey smell and a subtle taste that can be enjoyed savory or sweet, garnished with white chocolate, mint, almonds and raspberries. Is it still unappetizing to you?
The chocolate pasta itself sounds great, but I don't get where the Nutella comes in. Nutella should be banned anyway, right? I'm not a fan, clearly, right?
The Nutella is the sauce. It is just, it's smothered in Nutella
sauce. So you could make a beautiful chocolate ganache and then drizzle maybe a little bit of hazelnut oil in that as well, and then you've even got 90% sugar. So it's easy to make Nutella without the horrendous ingredients that go in it. So
the palm oil and so on and so forth.
The palm oil and the sugar. I mean, it's not cool.
Yeah. But for me, pasta, Nutella, it doesn't work, Tahir.
I mean, do you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of university days. There was a guy who we lived with, and one day he was eating something, and we're like, "What is that, Rob?" And he says, "Oh, chocolate mashed potatoes." So casually.
What?
It's like in university, anything goes. This is what it reminds me of. It's like some university student came up with, "Guys, we've run out of tomato sauce, but there's Nutella here in the other cupboard." So this is like,
you're kidding me, right?
There's no butter in the fridge. I'm just going to put Nutella.
That was, but I mean, we do use like Nutella in other things. You know, we improvise, don't we? Samosas come to mind?
Yeah, so I was kind of, I don't know, I'm not sure about that Nutella samosa. It's like everything indulgent and bad for you heavenly married together. I haven't tried it, but it's weird. Is Nutella, I mean, I'm kind of siding with Chef here. Is Nutella, because it's a little bit faddish or addictive, that you put it on anything and it's cool, or I don't know.
I don't know. What do you think, Debbie? I'm
just not a fan of the sweet and savoury combination. I think them separate.
It's a weird one, isn't it, though? Yeah. It's just because before you eat it, your brain has kind of got to get around the whole idea. And I think in this case, our brains are having a lot of trouble getting around that idea.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We are today looking at the dishes that you should know how to cook before you turn 30. If you've got a special recipe that you always have up your sleeve for an impromptu get-together, we want to know what that is. Tell us 4001 or on the Dubai Eye app. It might be a juicy roast chicken with all the trimmings. It might be a special curry. It might be a pavlova or a chocolate cake, something special that you love. We're talking Diwali sweets as well. And at the table, we've got with us Chef Russell Impiazzi, Culinary Director at Galleries Lafayette Le Gourmet. Tahir Shah, founder of Moshiwati, and Debbie Rogers, editor of Foodie Mag. And you can follow us on the Dubai Eye Facebook page where our producer Aisha is posting up pictures. She's posting up a video. There's even a Facebook Live video that you will be able to see there as well. And of course, we want you to join in the conversation. Something we were talking about last hour is the combination of Nutella and pasta, because it is World Pasta Day on the 25th of October. Tahir, you've had a text in. This one is from Rohit saying, "I would have a Nutella on paratha."
Whoa.
He says, "Tahir and Moti Roti, let's make it happen."
That's dangerous, Rohit. Be careful what you say. No, that sounds... You're on. Actually, that's something I would love to try. Nutella on paratha.
Okay. We're going to be seeing that on Mochirotti soon.
Mochirotti, something I'd love to try at the right market, actually. That would do really well. You know, make paratha on the fly, spread a bit of Nutella on it.
We've given you a couple of ideas today.
Yeah.
Jalabi and the paratha today.
Who's going to profit from this? Me.
Keep sending them in.
Tell us what you think should be combined with Nutella. Maybe not pasta, we have established, but it is now time to start taste testing the goodies that Chef Russell Impiazzi has brought in from Galleries Lafayette. First of all, Chef, tell us, this is part of which menu? Because there are so many different menus that you have at Galleries Lafayette.
Yeah, these dishes are part of our event catering. So we were reworking the menus over the summer, and a lot of feedback we're getting from the clients is, look, we want a bit more that's vegetarian based. So we worked out with the guys, and we've come up with a nice selection of dishes. And what you've got there in front of you, you've got the edamame hummus, which is based on the classic hummus. We've taken out 70% of the chickpeas and replaced that back in with some edamame, and made in a traditional way, lots of olive oil, lemon juice. And we've dehydrated some kale chips. We've marinated the kale chips first with a pepper puree and a bit of nutritional yeast, and we've dehydrated those overnight, so it's a wonderful light crispy texture. So
very crispy.
So I think a, you know, nice chips and dip style. And then we've got the tapioca. For those of you not familiar with tapioca, it comes in like a pearl form, and you boil it, and what it will look like is wallpaper paste, really thick and super super starchy. So you have to wash all of that starch off, and then we run some tomato sauce through it, and then that, again, that gets on a dehydrator overnight, so that gives a lovely crispy texture, almost like a crispy rice puff. So you can do anything with those things. You can flavour it with some seaweed, you can flavour it with some squid ink. So again, there's a lot of fun to have with the tapioca chips. And again, we just made a very simple fresh tomato tartare. So we've just taken the tomato flesh, good extra virgin olive oil, and some chopped chives, and again, some nice salt and pepper. And we just topped that with a little bit of Parmesan cheese. And the last one is probably my favourite, is the miso roasted cauliflower. That's great as a part of a side dish as well. You know, if you're cooking at home, you know, a family roast, you know, roast a whole cauliflower and just carve it at a table, it's fantastic. So we've rubbed that with some miso, that's going to be having 45 minutes, and we've just made like a sunflower seed pesto just to top it off.
Let's go around the table. Tahir, what do you think?
Oh, this is brilliant, chef. I mean I'm
let's go one at a time.
Yeah,
so the edamame hummus, what do you think about that?
The hummus itself is so super smooth, like mega smooth texture, and I think it nicely goes with the very extremely crispy kale. Really nice pairing. I really enjoyed that, and I had the cauliflower as well. So the thing with cauliflower is, like, even in our cuisine, it's a kind of a boring vegetable. So we always say, like, in Punjabi cuisine, you have to put the bhangra into it. You have to add stuff in it. And I think the miso has really put it to life. Really, I enjoyed it, and I actually like the most the tapioca, honestly, especially that tomato.
It's very fresh.
It's not pureed. It's not soup. I like that it's not. Yeah, it foils it nicely with the wafery tapioca. Really good, chef. Cool. Really enjoyed it.
Debbie?
Yeah, I'm loving the textures, actually. I mean, it's visually really appealing, which is
should
nice
be, right?
to start with.
Yeah,
it should be. It should be. But actually, you can only make it look really good if it tastes good first, is always my thing. The tapioca is amazing. I'm not a fan of that at all, because I've got school day memories of tapioca pudding, and you know, never would I think that I would be eating tapioca. So that is really good. You've converted me on that one.
It is a very humble ingredient, isn't it, tapioca? But you've just made it into something so fancy and so special.
Fancy schmancy.
With the freshness of the tomato. But of course, the little bit of spiciness in there, it just really sets it off.
No, good. I mean, the chives gives that little bit of onion flavour in there as well. And look, we use a fantastic olive oil as well. I mean, the olive oil we use is from centuries-old olive trees, so it gives a nice pungency to it. So the oil's from Puglia, and it's just a beautiful oil, and that kind of makes a difference.
No, that's what I couldn't put my finger on. So something with the oil, that's it makes a difference. Then.
It's very simple ingredients that cost really nothing. But putting them all together and making it work is...
Why is it important? I mean, some people might think, oh, I just go to the supermarket and I just buy the olive oil there. What's the difference for those of us who haven't tried really brilliant olive oil?
I think every house should have a bottle of good olive oil, and don't fry your eggs in it. You know, it's a finishing oil, you know, that just you just drizzle on the top of a salad, and you get this wonderful aroma, this lovely nuttiness. If you're using a Spanish oil, you'll get the slightly spicier one that hits you at the back of the throat. It's more peppery. And it kind of depends what you want from your oil. But this is one of my favourites.
I mean, you get the Palestinian oil, the Jordanian oil also has
beautiful
that
as well,
that peppery flavour as well. That if it's, you know, very that cold pressed you know, the oil, it has a flavour unlike anything you've tasted before.
And you use it as a finishing. You know, otherwise, you know, you kind of lose the beauty of the olive oil if you're cooking with it. A light olive oil to cook with is absolutely fine, but I find if you're going to use an expensive oil to cook with, you kind of lose the integrity of what the oil is. So use a good rapeseed oil if you're going to cook with it.
I want to ask you about the hummus, because there are those that say you should never flavour hummus.
Don't mess with my hummus.
Don't mess with hummus. It's like the holy grail of dips.
Yeah.
You know, but you've jazzed it up beautifully with this with the edamame, and it does give it a really the creaminess. It extends that kind of creamy flavour. It's beautiful.
I think using a good blender as well gives you that. It adds a bit of air into it as well, and that kind of gives it that lightness to it.
What's the key to flavouring a hummus properly? Because you can't do it with just anything.
I think you just got to get your ratios right. Not too much tahina, not too much lemon. It's about balance. And as you're making it, taste as you go.
Exactly. That is a really good tip, actually. Yeah. You do have to taste as you go, because you could add too much of something and then you've just
If it's too tahina heavy, then it's a bit too much. If it's too much lemon, obviously too acidity, and you've got to season it as well. So
It is really trial and error, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah, that's it, you know. But why not season it? Why play with it, whatever your flavour is? I mean, that's the joy of food, isn't it? You experiment. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You might like it, you might hate it. So that's the joy of food. It should spark conversation. It should get people excited.
That's
why I love what I do.
It's brilliant. I'm loving the cauliflower as well. Tahir, like you said, it's one of those vegetables that people kind of shy away from and they're like, oh, that's boring, with the cauliflower. But with the pesto, that just makes it pop.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's visual as well, you know. When like I say, if you're serving it as a part of a meal, the whole cauliflower comes onto the table and you're carving it like you would do a joint. Mm. You know, it's really cool when you cut through it, those lovely layers and the tree-like thing comes through. Beautiful.
Loving it. I want to ask each of you as well about your go-to dips at a party. What do you use when you're at a party, and do you want to make that special kind of dip? Everybody's got their thinking caps on in the studio. We've got another text about the paratha. This is very popular. Clearly, Tahir, you've got to do it, because somebody else, no name on the message, but says, my kid's already put Nutella on parathas, puris and chapatis.
Whoa.
Yeah?
Thank you, no name. We are definitely going to be working.
I tell you, I'm going to give you some of my homemade choco nut, right? Better than Nutella.
I'd love to try that, chef.
Do you put in it?
So we use a 70% chocolate, and make a classic ganache, and then we do a hazelnut puree with a little bit of hazelnut as well, and that's all it is.
Yeah.
So you've got that lovely sweetness coming through the great chocolate, and then that lovely nuttiness comes through, and we don't add any sugar to it, so it's beautiful.
So you don't need to add sugar to it?
Well, the sugar's in chocolate naturally, isn't it? Right, so you've got that natural sweetness.
If it's 70% cocoa, though, that's quite... is that not, you know, very deep and kind of bitter?
No, not really, because you're getting offset with the nuts. Mm. So it's... Look, if you want to use a 60%, you can, if you want it slightly sweeter. But I kind of like that bitterness to it. So you've got the integrity of the chocolate still. And that's important for me, because if you're having a Nutella, all you get is this sugar hit.
Sweet,
and you don't really taste anything. The nuts come through at the end, but... The chocolate gets lost a little bit.
What about needing something to kind of bring the paste together? Does it just, you know, is it just creamy and smooth on its own like that? Because I think some people add like a coconut oil or something to it to kind of just give it, you know, to gel it all together, if you
no,
like.
No, it just comes together on its own. It's not rocket science.
I'm going to go home and try that now.
All right, I'll send you a recipe.
I like that. Yeah, send me a recipe. We're going to try that. You're going to try that?
Well, Mochiroti featuring Chef Russell.
There you go. We've got a collaboration happening in studio already. But tell us what you do. Maybe you make your own Nutella at home as well. At the table today, we've got with us Chef Russell.
The cook.
Chef Russell Impiazzi, Culinary Director at Galeries Lafayette Le Gourmet. He is treating us to some beautiful dishes from their catering menu. We've got Tahir Shah, founder of Mochiroti, stealing all our ideas, all your ideas. Debbie Rogers, editor of Foodie Mag, is here as well, tasting with us. Plenty more coming up on the Thursday brunch with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye 103.8. We're just tucking into Chef Russell Impiazzi's delicious selection of dips that he's brought in for us, including the edamame hummus with the crispy kale. think chips and dips, miso roasted cauliflower with sunflower seed pesto, and tomato tartare with avocado, parmesan, and tapioca chips. It's not tapioca chips as you know them, or tapioca as you know it. It is gorgeous. It is stunningly presented. Chef Russell, just beautiful presentation from you for these dishes. But you can check those out on our Facebook page on Dubai Eye 1038. That is there. And also that will be on our blog too. But we left off talking about the dishes that you present to those that you really want to impress. Chef Russell, we've heard yours. Now, Debbie from Foodie Mag, Debbie Rogers, tell us what you would put out there if somebody called you and said, oh, I'm coming over for dinner tonight.
Two things. Always banoffee pie.
Yes!
Yeah.
I'm kind of famous for my banoffee pie from quite a few years ago now.
It's really, really, really good.
Oh, so I love a good banoffee pie.
Always banoffee.
Well, I'm not going to let you go there. So just wait. Stop now. you've got to tell us. Take us through your banoffee pie. What does it look like? Why is it so special?
Okay. I think it's special because I put quite a lot of love into making it. And
yeah.
I don't know if you can taste love, but it's something that I feel you that you can.
You can. You can.
So it's always made with nice salted butter, which goes into the biscuit base. Usually just really plain digestives. I don't see the point of playing around with stuff. My condensed milk, I boil in a slow cooker for a couple of hours. So 3-4 hours, just leave it.
Yes.
No exploding cans. Nothing to worry about that way. It's quite casual. Beautiful whipped cream. Whipped within an inch of its life, so it stands up nice on top, and then just Cadbury flake bars. It's really traditional. I've obviously got a few variations when it's Christmas, when I can do a few more freestyles in terms of some of the flavouring of the cream. But the classic is really good.
And how ripe are your bananas?
Always ripe.
Very ripe.
Always ripe.
Mm.
Sliced very thinly.
Mm.
I don't want too much of that.
There are those who like them to be a bit more tart, but I think the riper, the better.
The riper, the natural sweetness.
They get sweet then, yeah. Mm. I mean, not really that you need to do more sweetness on top of the caramel, but the cream offsets the sweetness.
Mm.
And it's obviously it's calorie free when I make it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can move on now. We can move on. No, that's why we're talking about the Dubai Fitness Challenge in the
absolutely.
Same show. But for a main dish, what would you put
main
out
dish?
There?
I absolutely adore lamb, so yes. I'd get a leg of lamb, butterfly it, cover it in garlic, minced. What do you call it?
Shallots.
No
garlic. No.
Oh my goodness! I've written it down. Mint.
Mint, of course.
Mint.
Minced mint.
I can see how you...
Yeah. Sorry, I've lost my mind. I'm drooling as I talk.
You've got the garlic, you've got the mint.
Absolutely. Some olive oil. Bash it under the grill or on the barbecue. Cook it quite quickly with some really beautiful roast potatoes.
Mm.
And leeks in butter. They've got to be fried in butter, I'm afraid.
Oh, beautiful.
So quite indulgent, but very tasty.
It really is.
Okay, we're at your house at 8 o'clock tonight.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can't. We're coming over.
We're all coming over. But we were talking in Studio B earlier about the perfect roast potato. What makes the perfect roast potato?
A good spud to start with. And cook it just before it starts to break up. If you don't boil it, if you boil it too less, you don't get such a fluffy potato. And when it goes in the pan, the oil's got to be super, super hot. You want to hear that sizzle the minute it hits the pan. Otherwise, you don't get the lovely crispiness. And a good hot oven. So, yeah, my wife actually taught me a trick with a little dusting of flour just before it goes in the oven. But the oil's got to be super hot. You want to hear that as it hits the pan.
Because it crisps it up, doesn't it, when you put the flour coating on the outside. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I need to go home now and just do some cooking. Tahir, do you have a particular way that you like your potatoes?
I mean, I'm a big fan of potatoes. Someone misspelled app once they were texting me, and it came out aloo, which is our word for potato. I thought, oh wow, wouldn't that be a great app that a potato comes to your house and you have it either jacket fried or roasted, like when you have a craving.
You're onto something today.
Yeah, I don't know how it would work. I haven't worked out the logistics yet.
Spots for you, right?
Yeah.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
talking your favourite dishes to get together at a moment's notice. This is with Chef Russell Mbiazi, Culinary Director at Galeries Lafayette Le Gourmet, Tahir Shah, founder of Mortuorti, and Debbie Rogers, editor of Foodie Mag. Now, we were talking about the things that you put out at a dinner party, at a lunch, but also your dips, your favourite dips that you like to have. Chef Russell, you gave us yours, but I want to hear from you, Tahir. We haven't heard from you about the dishes that you love. But as well as that, Jackie has texted in saying, loving the show. I am a lover of dips. What would your chefs serve to dip them in? So we'll go around. Let's come to you first, Tahir.
You got to beat this. Pakora. Pakora is the perfect thing for dipping. It was designed for dipping.
It was designed for dipping. For those of us who are not familiar with the incredible pakora,
it's a crispy batter. It's like a fritter, I guess. So some come in onion or onion and potato. It's deep fried in chickpea flour. After that, like, it's so addictive. And then you typically have it with either a ketchup or a chutney.
What is it about chickpea flour that is so great for these things?
I wish I knew.
It binds it, it makes it sticky. So if you just grate an onion, one onion and a teaspoon of the chickpea flour, mix it together, a bit of maybe chutney masala in there as well.
Yeah.
And then just deep fry it really hot, lovely and crispy, keeps the inside soft as well.
Definitely. Yeah. But why would you use, you know, chickpea flour instead of just a normal wheat flour, for example?
It's stickier.
It is stickier.
And it has a flavour.
Yes.
As a flavour, as opposed to normal flour.
I remember that we had a neighbour who, I don't know what they're called. You have to tell me what they're called. But they're kind of like little patties of vegetables and chickpeas that are with the chickpea flour. And they're fried and they're really spicy. And they were just amazing. I had them when I was pregnant and I need to have them again. Well, I don't know what they're called. That was years ago, but I still remember them. They were incredible. I've forgotten the name of them. But okay, so that's what you would put into your dip. Yeah. But what is the dip?
My grandma's chutney, a green chutney. Most of us know how to make it in the family. It's very simple, actually, but it's like a typical household chutney that's made with mint, coriander, tomato and onion, just to give it body, and then a little bit of lemon and some spices. The trick is, like, a lot of restaurants, for example, really blend the chutney, so it's very almost watery, but this is supposed to be like almost semi-blended, so it's got chunks in there, like a salsa almost.
You've got to have a bit of texture in there as well, don't you? It's not just about the flavors, but you know, this is something that you did with yours as well, Chef.
Yeah, there's a little bit of body behind it, doesn't it? You know, it just makes that whole eating experience just that little bit better.
Because you've got to have that variety of the shape in the food, don't you?
Yeah.
That for your mouth to crunch into and to eat, and you know, in this case it is the chutney. But yeah, I love that. But do you have it really hot? Is it very spicy?
The chutney? Mm-hmm. No, that's made cold.
Just in terms of the chili, there is no chili in there?
There's chili in there, yeah.
So I'm, you know, asking about the heat factor of the chili.
I mean, it has to have a kick, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. I'm with that. Yeah. Some people don't like a kick, but I love a really good kick. But what about for you, Debbie, in terms of that perfect dip?
I'm trying to be healthy, so... It would be something that would make me feel that it was indulgent, but not. So it'd be a yogurt-based dip, probably with some shredded cucumber, some roasted garlic, a few red onions, maybe some chilies, jalapenos. I love spice.
Delicious.
And then I'd just dip cucumber and tomato slices in there.
Simple.
Because you get that crunch.
You do.
So you kind of feel like you're being a bit indulgent, but you're being healthy.
You get that freshness as well when it's just cucumber and tomato.
Yeah, simple stuff.
Putting it into the yogurt mixture in there, and it's just the creaminess and the thickness as well. That is really something. But for me, my favourite dip is called hamra. And that basically means roasted or, you know, brown, if you like. So it's a red bell pepper that you need for this dip. That's the basis of it. You roast those to the point where the skin starts to turn black. So you cut them up into slices and roast those in the oven, grill them. You've got your walnuts in there, toasted, of course, toasted walnuts. Garlic is in there, lemon juice. You've got breadcrumbs as well to give it that body as well. Pomegranate molasses or dibis rumman. Nice. That's an absolute must have. If I was going to say in the kitchen, must have ingredient on hand. I love pomegranate molasses. You get that tanginess, you get the sweetness, and it's just deeply fruity. So gorgeous. Smoked paprika is in there as well. Some people use red chili flakes in this particular dip. I would say don't do that, because what you want is you want the body, you want the fullness of the flavor, and the best thing to do is get yourself the best red chili paste that you can get your hands on. The Syrians do a really good one. Okay. It's called shatta.
Shatta,
And that is what I would use in there. A good teaspoon, at least. If you like it hot, go for it.
Sounds great.
Oh, it's amazing. A little bit of cumin, olive oil, and off you go. And so you blend that all together. But you want it to be to the walnuts too much and too pasty. You do want the texture in there. So that is the one that I go for.
That sounds amazing.
It really is.
It does sound good.
To dip into that, Jackie, it's just really simple. You just slice up some Arabic bread, drizzle of that, and roast that in the oven. Roast it, bake it in the oven until it's crispy, and it just is so simple.
I think anything crispy in a dip
has
to be crispy. You want that crunch followed by the smooth texture, and then a little bit of sweetness, salty, acidity in the dip. So,
sounds
yeah.
good.
Contrast
sounds
good. Is everything.
Contrast, yeah.
Every time we talk about food, it is something that's a little bit overwhelming. It is emotional. It is fabulous. But we are talking Thursday brunch here. And we've got with us Chef Russell Impiazzi, Culinary Director at Galleries Lafayette Le Gourmet, Tahir Shah, founder of Moriarty Plus, Debbie Rogers, editor of Foodie Mag. Now, Debbie, coming up after the break, I'm going to ask you about your food fantasy. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
She's ready. Find out what it is on the Thursday brunch on Dubai Eye 103.8. Dubai is set to break the world record for the most expensive truffle. Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah, it's a fantastic time of year to be a chef. You know, when we look forward to truffle season. And they're insanely expensive. But you only need a little bit. So if you get the opportunity, as it coming to November, December and January, where you've got a menu that offers white truffle, give it a go. Because the fragrance you get off a freshly shaved white truffle is one of those things that, as a foodie, you should get genuinely excited about. It's pretty cool.
What are the kind of dishes where you would definitely go for some truffle on top?
Oh, just a beautiful mushroom risotto, that lovely earthiness of the mushrooms, and then just some lovely shaved white truffle on top. That's food heaven for me.
I've had fries with truffle oil, and
truffle oil is one of those things that you either love it or hate it. Not really a fan of it. If you can get the real truffle, then chefs use it add a bit of flavour to things. But freshly shaved white truffle is one of those things that you should absolutely try.
Well, this is going to be captivating connoisseurs throughout the world. This is the city of Alba, who are going to be bringing their annual World Alba White Truffle Auction to the GCC for the first time in its 18-year history this November. So the Italian Industry and Commerce, in partnership with the Italian Restaurant Consulting and Le Meridian Dubai Hotel and Conference Centre, they're hosting a charity auction on November the 12th this year in Dubai, which will be held concurrently with the Grinzani Castle in Alba in Italy, the historical location of the auction, and Hong Kong as well. That's going to be linked by satellite to broadcast worldwide and attracting connoisseurs from all over the globe. The auction is expected to raise €500,000, and proceeds from the auction will be donated to Al Jalila Foundation. So that is brilliant news.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And like I say, that smell, white truffle aromas is one of the best as a food as a food, you know, thing, it's incredible.
It is unique.
Big fan of white truffle.
It is unique. For somebody who's never tried it before, hasn't gone for it before, you know, what would you say to them? How would you ease them into the flavor?
You'll smell it first. You know, that smell, if any restaurant's serving white truffle, when you walk in the restaurant door, you'll get that aroma. Mm. If they've got it in the Meridian, the world's biggest white truffle, you'll probably smell it in Jebel Ali, right? It's and that's what hooks you, that wonderful earthiness, and the perfume is just incredible.
So go for it, basically.
Definitely go for it. Definitely, yeah.
So that's an auction that is coming up, and we'll definitely be featuring truffles on our show here on the Thursday brunch as well. So stay tuned for that. That will be coming up on one of our Thursday brunches here on Dubai Eye 103.8. But Debbie, because it's kind of your first time with us here in the studio, we'd love to ask people about their food fantasy.
Food fantasy.
Okay.
Tell me.
I'm a huge fan of specialty coffee.
Okay.
So my personal blog, which kind of helped to launch Foodie Mag, is called Coffee Cakes and Running. Coffee and cakes are pleasures. The running was not so pleasurable. I would love to go to a farm, right back to the origin of the bean, to follow the bean all the way through from probably Guatemala, that's one of my favourite coffee beans, right the way through, follow it all the way through to Dubai, through to roasting, grinding, and my ultimate aim would be to learn how to pour that perfect latte with a pretty picture on it, which I cannot do. I'm really good at splashing milk all over the side.
Including the art, the latte art.
Not just a heart, I want to make like a little scorpion or something.
A dragon.
So it's completely impossible because I'm rubbish at pouring lattes.
Who knows? You could get good enough to do it one day.
Yeah.
But what is it about the Guatemalan coffee bean? Is it is it more fruity? What is the flavour? Why do you love it so much?
It's quite special because of the climate and because of the altitude. It's quite a special taste. I like sort of fruity coffee, and I like coffee that has caramel undertones. And often that's what comes from the Guatemalan ones that I tend to enjoy.
But you find that with a lot of single origin coffees, don't you? Yeah. That lovely fruitiness comes through.
And you can distinguish it.
Yeah.
You know, if you buy cheap coffee, you can't pick up any of those tones at all.
No,
and,
of course not, yeah.
I'm not that specialist in terms of tasting, but when I do taste it and when I smell it, and I think I can get some of those undertones, I'm quite pleased about that. Same as when you're tasting specialty chocolate and single origin chocolate.
Chocolate is insane.
Single origin chocolate is amazing.
Yeah.
What does that mean when you say single origin? For those of us who don't know, what
from
is that?
From one area. They're not blending anything else. Mm. I tried one from Peru, and the cocoa bean was grown on a banana plantation, and it picked up the natural flavour of the bananas. So you're tasting this amazing chocolate, and it tastes like banana.
Mm.
And it's just picked it up from the surroundings. It's insane.
I had a Cuban one, and it tasted of smoke. Like cigar smoke.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And I didn't think my taste buds were that good, but on the chocolate tasting, I was like, wow, I've got smoke and I've got cigar smoke through it.
Yeah, stuff from Trinidad as well will give you that lovely smokiness as well.
It's just,
it's insane. If you find
like that, you can taste different things in it.
It will pick up the different flavours of the area that it's from as well.
It's that natural characteristics, and it's really cool.
Depends how it's grown, how it's harvested, how it's washed, how it's roasted, how it's ground. Even if the guys grind it to a different texture, the way that they brew it, you can make coffee sort of really sing for you. And I'd love to trace that entire story right the way through and actually pour that perfect latte.
Oh, beautiful. I'm waiting for the artwork. Maybe you could do like the Mona Lisa.
I could.
There are, you know, because you're an Instagram queen. On Instagram, you can find the most incredible, like, coffee art and all kinds of food art. And, you know, it's pretty talented to be able to froth that milk in such a way that it makes it sing like that.
It's so clever.
One day. One day. We can't wait for it. When you do it, do come back.
I will show us.
It's been a great Thursday brunch with Chef Russell Impiazzi, Culinary Director at Galeries Lafayette Le Gourmet, Tahir Shah, founder of Moti Roti, and Debbie Rogers, editor of Foodie Mag. Thank you all so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.